Well, we finish Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 tonight. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Now let's talk about what we might need to be in prayer for. Need to be in prayer for my wife. Needs to be in prayer. Need to be in prayer for, Bobby. Needs to be in prayer. And anything else?
Yes. Ioana for her aneurysm surgery.
Any no news yet?
No.
Okay. No news. All right. What'd you have?
Prayer of Thanksgiving. I was praying to get a job, and the architect finally called me and said, Steve, I need you because the other guy can't do the job. So I should have the job as of tomorrow. So I'm hoping everything goes
right. Steve.
We'll see if you do.
It's like you said, the other guys can't do the work.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone should have a handout for tonight, and that'll do help you a little bit. It'll really help you in regard to mercy. I've never really dealt with mercy, and so I spent a lot of time working on the one we're going to do tonight, just on mercy. So let's get that one done. So let's go into prayer and get to work. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to have things you'd have us to see and to understand. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Now, we learn so much about Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Now, tonight, we're going to learn from Jesus Christ in one verse. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and talks about Jesus Christ. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. So, things that we learn about Jesus Christ. One, we learn that Jesus Christ is that He is our high priest. Two, and this is all from one verse. Two, He is our high priest. Three, He sympathized with our weaknesses. And then four, He has been tempted in every way that we've been tempted. And point five, He has not failed in anyone's sin. So He is without sin. So all of that was about Jesus Christ in one verse. Now, let's add to that, we learn about ourselves. Three things in this verse. One, we have Jesus Christ as our high priest. Two, He sympathizes with us. He sympathizes with us. And three, we have all been tempted to sin. We've all sinned. Now, with that in mind, first, let's look at Christ sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. We learn about the writer of Hebrews. This word is used only in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and chapter 10, verse 34. The point here is that it is used of Jesus Christ and our believer and of believers under the power of God the Holy Spirit. This shows nothing. This shows something that we should have toward one another. The complete biblical library describes this to sympathize with, to feel with, to have compassion for. It is better to think of this word as empathy. Empathy. What is this word is described is Jesus Christ feeling with someone else and what they feel. This word feels means to have compassion and not judgment. He has compassion without judgment. Now, he does have judgment, but also in our study, he has compassion without judgment. Sympathize means to make judgment on a person. Again, it is knowing the empathy of someone else because that you have also been what they're experiencing. Jesus Christ, our high priest, empathizes with the weaknesses that we enjoy, that we experience. Second thing, Jesus Christ was tested, just as we're tested. This is introduced by a double negative. We do not have a high priest who cannot. There's a double negative. There's the negative. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. But, on the contrary, we have one who has been tested in all things in according to our likenesses. Thirdly, in studying, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ was sinless in his testing. This emphasizes the relationship of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Jesus Christ was tested, but what with total free of temptation of sin before God. So God gave him a test, he passed it. See, so that sinless pleases God and revealed himself as faithful to God. Then, in being free all sin, he was able to help us in our life. Now, we have sins, and Jesus Christ was able to completely help us with our sins and come near to God in our lives. Now look at verse 16, last verse. Therefore, I love this, therefore, that let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is a powerful verse. This is a relationship of grace and mercy. Note, therefore, the word. Verse 14 begins, therefore. Look at the beginning, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, now, verse, therefore, our prayers are in grace. We have him as a high priest, and now we have him as grace in our prayers. Note, all that is involved here, the throne of grace, and we receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy occurs 174 times in the Bible. So it's going to take a look tonight at the word of mercy. Mercy. Point one. What does mercy mean? Now if we had time, we'd all take a test. What do you think it is? But what does mercy mean? The word means benevolence, forgiveness. What is the definition of mercy in the Bible? Mercy appears in the Bible as it relates to forgiveness or withholding punishment. You got the two things, forgiveness and withholding punishment. For example, God the Father showed mercy on us when he sacrificed his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to pay the price for our sins. Compassion, kindness, without punishment to us. Now, very often do people talk about mercy, but we're going to add a lot of understanding about mercy tonight. Point two. But it has one of the most important concepts about God. Before God, this means forget punishment. Mercy means forget punishment. I don't know if you forgive God for mercy or not. You should. Never forget how we were due punishment. But before God, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross all for us, we do not endure punishment all eternity. We should have, but we do not. Because what Jesus Christ endured on the cross, that is because he endured our punishment. He endured our punishment. And we receive mercy from God and receive his compassion. All right, now point three. Then, instead of punishment, we receive forgiveness. Instead of punishment, we receive forgiveness in his mercy. When mercy speaks, there is no more punishment. When mercy speaks, no more punishment. Now, four. Now, we're going to cover a lot of different things, but one thing we're not going to cover is the great white throne judgment, the judgment of every unbeliever. But put that as another study. Four. There are two things we should thank God daily for: mercy and kindness. Mercy and kindness. How do you define mercy? Mercy relates to forgiveness and without punishment. Mercy is forgiveness without punishment. God showed mercy on us when he sacrificed his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross to pay for the price of our sins. That's mercy. Another way to look at mercy is to think about what mercy does. Jesus Christ demonstrated mercy by loving us rather than condemnation. We deserve God's condemnation because of our sins, but instead we receive mercy in the forgiveness of his sins and receive his love. Five. Mercy is the Greek testament. Mercy means in the Greek means mercy in Greek was eleos, E-L-E-O-S, which is derived from the word, now this is interesting, the word mercy, or eleos, is derived from the Greek word for olive oil. Olive oil. Olive oil was used to treat wounds. It was soothing, comforting, healing. Olive oil was those three things: smooth, soothing, comforting, and healing. It speaks then to a merciful God who is all those things. In Hebrew, the word for mercy is chesed, which means steadfast love. The Hebrew is raham, R-A-H-A-M, from the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament. It's just, quote, the word pictures a deep, kindly, sympathetic, and sorrow felt for another person who has been struck with affliction or misfortune. Yes.
You say that it's, that the word is chesed, and then you say the word is racham. So how do those two words relate?
The words is what?
You said, in Hebrew, the word for mercy is chesed, which means steadfast love. The Hebrew is racham. Which one is
it? It's both. Okay. So, it's a very rich word.
So another word for mercy, so you've got two words.
Actually, we got about six words, six Hebrew words, translated mercy. It's usually translated compassion, mercy, these things were, but as we see. All right, let's continue. The word pictures a deep, kindly, sympathy and sorrow felt for another who has been struck with affliction or misfortune, accompanied with a desire to relieve their suffering. In this study of suffering and mercy are so important in the study of the Word of God, for God is always just when anyone is given suffering. Now, point six, showing mercy. How does God show mercy? To show mercy means to have compassion. To one who should be punished. To show mercy means to show compassion with one who should receive punishment. It means to give undeserved forgiveness. Undeserved forgiveness. Here, it is God giving undeserved forgiveness, especially when we do not even ask or beg for the forgiveness. Mankind is in a miserable way, is in a miserable state, and who often does not even know that he is in a miserable state. Many people in the world are not aware they're in a miserable state. Before God, it also adds kindness. So that's another word we'd have to put into the meaning of it. Kindness. To us when we do not deserve kindness. It means that we are forgiven when God was wronged. How was God wronged? When we sinned. Mercy means that God does not have to show mercy to us. Mercy means God does not have to show mercy to us. I know when I was 7 years old, I was crying when I believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. I don't know why, but I knew I was in forgiven when I was 7 years old. Now, point seven. How does God's mercy manifest His mercy? How does God's mercy manifest itself? By forgiveness and salvation. He manifests His mercy by forgiveness and salvation. you can be a child and know and understand mercy. Every person should teach your children about mercy from God. Teaching your children about mercy when they received mercy. A child can learn about mercy when they hurt or disobey their parents, and they are given mercy and by forgiveness, by receiving treated as good when they deserve to be disciplined. So that's teaching a child. Now, point eight. Exodus 6, 7 through 17. I thought about reading it, but we're not going to. In so excellent passage for learning about God being merciful, Exodus 3, 7 through 14, 7 through 17. Now, all I did was looked at Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord, talking with Moses, this is what he was doing, talking with Moses, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmaster, and for I am aware of their sufferings. End quote. Now, only by God's mercy in taking away the sufferings but note that he also replaces the suffering with blessing. Note that. Look at verse 8. For I have down to deliver them from the power of Egypt, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, Hittite, and various peoples. So all of this is given to us an excellent understanding about mercy. Exodus 3, 7 through 17. Now, point 9. What are the characteristics of mercy? We've looked at the definition. What is the characteristics of mercy? Let's note just a few from the Word of God. Compassion to a person who has sinned before God. Giving to all creatures according to their needs, and to remove distress. Just read again Exodus 3, and you will note the characteristics of mercy. Now, point 10. There is a big difference between extending mercy and receiving mercy. Looking at the difference between extending mercy from God and receiving mercy, the human race. First, no one has received mercy until it is offered. No one received mercy until it's first offered. Offering mercy can be rejecting mercy, as multitudes will not believe in Jesus Christ. They can be in suffering all through eternity by rejecting the gift and the offer of mercy. Now, point 11. There is two things important in mercy. There are two things we're going to look at in mercy. So what is the difference between mercy and forgiveness. What's the difference between mercy and forgiveness? Because man is in sin, there is anger and resentment from God. While mercy includes the withdrawal, the withholding of harsh treatment that God has the right to inflict, God forgives and is merciful by His grace, and man receives it by His grace. And point 12. The word great. The word great is used to describe God's mercy in two different passages. Take a look. One is in the Old Testament and one is in the New Testament. One was a man, the other a woman. One was a king, and the other was related to one of the greatest persons in the Old Testament. There is great mercy in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 8. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David, my father, and have made me king of his place. Now, in Luke, New Testament, chapter 1, verse 58, her neighbor was her relationship, and her relationship heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. This is the woman in Elizabeth, in a friend of Mary. She had John, and then Mary had, of course, Jesus Christ. Now, point 13. There is a relationship between mercy and to forgiveness. There's a relationship between mercy and to forgiveness. Mercy and forgiveness are two terms that can be used interchangeably in some context. However, these two terms have distinctive and different meanings. Mercy refers to the kind or forgiveness treatment of someone who could be treated harshly. All right, put it in terms of spiritual things, God. Mercy refers to the kind of forgiveness of God's treatment of God who could have been very harshly. Forgiveness refers to letting go of his anger and resentment against a person. So one affects the people, one affects Jesus Christ. Point 14. How are grace and mercy connected to forgiveness? How are grace and mercy connected to forgiveness? Closely associated with belief is the mercy of God in the ideal of grace. Since one of the most significant meanings is the undeserved mercy of God given to sinners. Because of their frail and sinful human natures, people cannot by their actions deserve to be forgiven or earn forgiveness in any way with God. Grace and mercy and forgiveness are very important in our salvation. closely associated with belief in mercy of God is the ideal of grace. Gracefully associated with mercy is the ideal of grace, since one of its most significant meanings is the undeserved mercy of God given to sinners. Because of this, sinful human natures, people cannot by their actions deserve to be forgiven or earn forgiveness in any way with God. Now, point 15. Is God forgiving and merciful? Is God forgiving and merciful? The Lord our God is merciful and forgiveness and forgiving. Even though we were rebelled against Him, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, for my own sake, and remember your sins no more. He adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Point 16. How many times does the Bible say this mercy endures forever? God's mercy enduring forever. The phrase, His love endures forever, is repeated 26 times. You might think then this phrase is all about this phrase of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, is about love. We'll come to that in a moment. Now, 17. Why do we ask God to have forgiveness to us? Sounds like we'd all know that, understand it. The mercy of God gives us what we do not deserve, but we must also know that it is the prerogative of God to show mercy to whomever He wants. This much is stated in Romans chapter 9, verse 15. The mercy of God makes Him to intervene in our situation. When God's mercy shows up, it must put an end to being lost. 18. What Bible verses says you have mercy on your souls? I didn't know how else to do some of these than just put it into question form. Have mercy to me, O God. Have mercy to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your window of wings until the disaster has passed. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. Psalm 57. I'll talk about that in a moment. Number 19. Where in the Bible does it say His mercy endures forever? His mercy endures forever. Psalm 136, 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. 20. Where in the Bible does it say God's mercies are new every day? His mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. 21. What is the connection between grace and mercy? What is the connection? in the dictionary, grace is defined as courteous goodwill, meaning it's not asked for nor deserved, but is freely given. Mercy, on the other hand, is the compassion and kindness shown to someone whom it is in one's power to punish or to harm. It is an act that means to relieve someone of their for suffering. 22. Jesus Christ speaks of mercy in Hosea chapter 6 and in Matthew. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus Christ then admonishes the Pharisees in Matthew. God, and go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Verse 13, he was quoting the prophet Hosea, who centuries earlier had condemned the Jews for attempting to excuse their idolatry and their oppression of the poor by offering the prescribed animal sacrifices. So in other words, they just figured that they did be sure they did their sacrifices, they could do whatever they want. Now, point 23. In the Beatitudes is one of the most beautiful verses about God in all the Bible. That's pretty powerful. In one of the Beatitudes, one of the most powerful verses in all the Bible, Luke chapter 6, verse 36, which says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. That's all there is to it. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The word mercy, therefore, throughout the Bible, has been associated with forgiveness and forbearance. It is abundant compassion, true love, kindness, all of that. In fact, it is part of the very nature of God. Mercy is. As in James chapter 5, verse 11, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. That's the way he is. So the very nature of God is merciful. Now, we're going to close by looking at Psalm 86. The reading of the King James is preferred by me tonight in verse 86, for it translates things like mercy as the word mercy. Now, in the Hebrew text, it'll say mercy or it'll say other things. I like mercy. As you read through, pay attention to the cry out to God over and over. Think about this. Think about it. Over and over, he's going to cry out to God. It begins with the Lord and ends with the Lord. As we just read through, note how much is spoken of the greatness of the Lord for mercy. All right, let's take a look. Psalm 86, 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. That's talking about spiritual poverty, spiritual need. 2, preserve my soul, for I am holy. That's a believer. Although thou, my God, save, deliver, actually is deliver, deliver thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Verse 4, rejoice. Verse 3, be merciful. Verse 4, rejoice, the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good. Now, one thing to start learning, the things that are loaded, I underlined here, a lot of things, just different things about, we've noted in defining mercy. Verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that love, that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to thy servant, to the voice of thy supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are things or works like unto thy works. Verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Verse 10, for thou art great, we've studied that already, and doest wondrous things in mercy, thou art God alone. Now, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth until my heart to fear thy name. 12, I will praise thee, O Lord. Now verse 11, I will walk in thy truth. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forever. This is studied in for mercy. He will be merciful forever. Verse 13, for great is thy mercy toward me. Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest of hell. Verse 14, O God, the proud are raised against me, and the assembly of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before me, for them. Verse 15, be thou, O Lord, art a God, full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. All of that defines what we've been looking tonight in mercy. Verse 16, O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaiden. That means to save there is to deliver. And finally, verse 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, however, because thou, Lord, hast opened me, and comforted me. God add his blessing to the reading of his word, to his word. That's been our study dealing with mercy. Close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thou art so mercy to us. Sometimes we forget it. We forget it in our prayers. We forget it in this life. But let us never forget thou art merciful to us. Because of your mercy, we have eternal life. Because of mercy, we will be with Jesus Christ forever. Pray your Father, pray your Son, cause us to understand these things of our study on mercy. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.